Your voice.
Your life.
Your afternoon radio.
On 702 Afternoons.
With Relebo Gile Mabotja.
Deja Ayodele is an expert on black skin, a pioneer in the beauty industry and one of the UK's most respected aestheticians. She places black women front and center in her practice and offers her vast expertise on how to care for your skin. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. Send us a WhatsApp or a voice note, 072-702-1702. For this conversation, Deja, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me. How are you?
I am great. I'm great. And I'm wondering to myself, what was it that inspired you to write a book on black skin?
I think it was time. I run a skincare clinic in London, and you know, I've been sort of front row to some of the anxiety and worries about skin that I see black women having sometimes. And I wanted to help put some of those fears aside. And I know that the industry is sort of can be very centered on one type of demographic, and I wanted to make sure that black women were included in the narrative going forward.
Okay, so, I mean, you now became an expert on this just in terms of the type of work that you're doing, but how did you find that passion for black skin? What was it to do with your own black skin, or was it to do with maybe your mother's skin? Where do you think it comes from?
I think it's a mixture of different things. I think one of the main things that kind of guides me is it's sometimes I feel like there's a bit of an unfairness, like why can't we as black women also have the best? Why can't we have access to the knowledge and to the tools and things that we need to care for ourselves? And it was, to me, whether it be my mother, my daughter, or even myself, you know, I place black women on such a high pedestal. And as I always say, you know, black women are my North Star. And I just wanted to make sure that, you know, we were not left behind. I wanted to make sure that we have a space for ourselves and not a space where we're making do. I wanted it to be a space where we have everything that we so rightly, you know, desire and deserve.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of black skin, I mean, there's a part of your book where you speak about the history of black skin. Can you just touch on that?
Yeah, I remember when, you know, I first started writing, and I had conversations with my publisher, and I was very much like, you know, I'm not going to write a book on how to wash your face or what cream to use on your face. It has to have more depth than that. And because even as an esthetician, I'm also an educator, I wanted to make sure that my colleagues and my peers have a tool that they can refer to. And I knew that it's difficult, or challenging rather, to understand some of the worries and anxieties that black women have today if you don't have an appreciation of the history of how black skin has come across through the years, in terms of things like slavery, in terms of things like Jim Crow laws, in terms of things like skin bleaching. If you don't, if our allies, inverted commas, don't have that history, then it's very difficult to understand why we might, as black women, be so particular about how we care for our skin in 2022. So it was very important to have that historical section, because I think it grounds the book. And it gives it a lot of depth.
So when you speak about black skin and beauty, how what do you look at when you speak about black skin and beauty? Because for many, many years, the black skin was not deemed beautiful.
Exactly right. I'm sat here thinking it's the most beautiful. And I wanted, again, it's that appreciation, especially for black women, because for many years, as you say, the approximation to whiteness was what was deemed as beautiful and what was deemed and what black women were chasing. And I wanted to be able to say, actually, no, as you are fine. No matter the depth of your blackness of your skin, it is absolutely beautiful. And I wanted to also show you some of the historical sections. You can see where I show that there are certain things, like features that are typically black, like, say, fuller lips, for example, or even having a fuller bottom. that on black women for many years, we were told that that was undesirable. Mm. While it's okay for white women to have fuller lips from injectables, it's okay for them to inject their bottom, mm. but it's not okay for us to have those things that are naturally ours. So I really want to show that those differences and how there's like two levels, and how our level of beauty should be accepted, and it starts with us accepting it first.
Mm.
Before we can demand of anybody else to accept it. But I also show that through the years of even things like slavery, how some of our, that's kind of been taken away from us.
Mm.
And it's time for us to reclaim that.
So when we start to talk about the myths and misconceptions around black skin, what are some of the important things that you would like to highlight?
I think one of the most important things is that, you know, black skin doesn't need things like sun protection, doesn't need to wear sunscreen. For decades and decades where the sunscreen industry hasn't spoken to us. So we don't know that we need sunscreen just as much as the white woman does, maybe for different reasons, because we already have melanin, which gives us some level of protection. But In today's age, we're doing all these kind of facial treatments, we're using all these sometimes aggressive products. Of course, we need to protect our skin from the effects of the sun. And even things like certain types of, you know, perfectly good medical ingredients are not suitable for black skin. Say, for example, like hydroquinone, because that's had such a poor reputation with skin bleaching, while it's when you use it properly, whether you know, no matter what shade of color you are, it's actually a very valid, skincare ingredient to have in your routine. Or when we say things like black don't crack, because obviously, you know, we tend to show things like wrinkles much, much later than say a white woman would. But, you know, the extent of that is dependent on how well we look after our skin. Just so being black is not, it's not like a free get out of jail card that you can treat your skin however, you can do whatever to your skin and it will still look good, because you have to spend equally the same amount of time caring for it.
Mm, and now I was going to ask you about the phrase black don't crack, and if indeed it is scientifically and biologically true, and maybe why that is the case.
There is truth to it, absolutely. Reason being that the emergence of lines and wrinkles is dependent on collagen breakdown. Collagen is a scaffolding that holds our skin up. So if you think about a house being built, you know, you have a scaffolding outside holding up the building. Well, that's what collagen is. Melanin protects collagen from being broken down, which is why in white skin you see lines and wrinkles quickly, because they don't have the melanin protecting their collagen the same way we do. So yes, scientifically, this melanin that we have keeps our skin looking younger for longer. It doesn't mean that we don't get lines and wrinkles at some point later down the line in our lives. We do, just a lot later, because we've had melanin protecting us. Like, basically, it's like a head start.
Yes,
you
yes.
You know, it's protected us for a bit longer. So there is truth in black don't crack. However, it does eventually. And what you don't want to do is make it happen prematurely.
Yes.
By not looking after your skin.
Yes, because after that, there's no going back.
Yeah, exactly. There's no going back. The only way in which you can restore some of the firmness to your skin at that point is things like injectables, like Botox and that sort of thing. That's the only way you're going to sort of plump up the skin again. Again, it's like you're putting scaffolding up underneath the skin by using injectables. That's
yes.
the only way you're going to do it. So protect your skin now so you don't have to worry about those sorts of things in the future.
In terms of caring for the black skin, I mean, there are so many products that are out there. What should an individual look out for when it comes to products? I mean, I know for myself, there are certain products that are in South Africa that have been scientifically tested for our climate, but there are others that are very popular that have not been tested for our climate and for our skin.
Yeah, I mean, I always say that it's important, especially when you have black skin, look at what concerns you for your skin. For some people, they may have a skin condition like acne. Their needs are going to be very different to, say, somebody who has concerns of maybe discoloration and patchy skin. So look at those things first. But I always say, for all black women, one thing you really need in your routine is something to prevent pigmentation. Because we have melanin, melanin causes us to have dark patches very, very quickly, as soon as there's any type of trauma to the skin. So whether you cut yourself, whether you get a spot, a pimple, whatever it is, very quickly melanin comes to that area, and before you know it, the area is discolored. So like if you have a spot, you'll always notice that it leaves a dark mark. Even if it's gone, it leaves a mark. So we always need pigmentation products. And you know, if we're looking at sort of typical ingredients, you might be looking at something called kojic acid or alpha-arbutin or vitamin C, for example. And also sunscreen. Sunscreen is one of the most important things that we can use on our skin. But you're right in terms of saying not all products have been tested for maybe some certain climates or maybe on all skin colors. So I really make a point of working with brands that test their products on every single skin color. So from your lightest skin color right through to your darkest, maybe like, say, somebody from Sudan, you know, that beautiful, rich black. I always ask, you know, what is your testing? So I guess one of the key things you could do as a consumer is look for that kind of clinical testing and ask the brands. And a lot of brands tell you easily about it now, but ask the brands, you know, how much testing did you do? Did you test it on anyone who looks like me? And that kind of gives you your answer to whether you should be patronizing that brand, or maybe you want to go somewhere else.
What are the final thoughts you'd like to leave our listeners with on black skin?
Knowing that your listeners are mainly based, you know, in South Africa and the Africa region, I think one of the things I'd love to say is that, you know, black skin is absolutely beautiful and absolutely valid, and we must spend time looking after our skin. It is very much linked to how we present ourselves in the world, very much linked to our mindset and happiness, and therefore treat it with the respect that it deserves. A lot of people, because of ease of access to information, don't actually give their skin the love and respect it deserves, because you know, there's so much information out there. I always say, if you have a heart condition, you will see a heart specialist.
Yes.
So many people, when they have a skin problem, they'll go on Instagram or they'll go on social media to go and find an answer. And that's not giving your skin the respect and love it deserves.
Thank you so, so much, Deja Ayodele, author of Black Skin, the Definitive Skincare Guide, and esthetician.